Y'all mind if I do something a little different today and come down and preach from here? But let's turn ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Holy God, we come to you hungry for your word, to be fed by it as Jeremiah was, to meditate on it, to receive it and to let it bear fruit in us. Be planted as that seed. May it find in us good soil, where it might be watered by your Holy Spirit and grow and bear fruit for your kingdom. So come, Lord, and bless the preaching of your word out of my mouth. Bless the hearing of your word in all of our ears and the receiving of it in our hearts. May it all be for your glory's sake. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So I want to think about the nature of sacrifice. What's a sacrifice? Sacrifice is when you give up something for the sake of something greater. When you choose to forego something or give something up or get rid of it for the sake of something of higher value, right? Old mentor of mine used to drive around a junky minivan, old beat up 30-year-old minivan, and he called it his college tuition van. This is the sacrifice he made of a junky car to send his kids to college. Some of us will sacrifice anything for our loved ones. Some of us will sacrifice at work to get what we want. Maybe we'll sacrifice relationships to advance ourselves. Maybe we'll sacrifice our own comfort for the sake of something that we deem greater. The question is, what has higher value? What am I willing to give up for the sake of claiming something of greater value? And so today I want to meditate with us on Romans 12, verse 1. And just this one verse, I'd like to spend some time just reflecting with us on this call for us to be a sacrifice. Not for us to give a sacrifice, but that we are the sacrifice unto God. So I'm going to encourage you to have this verse open in front of you, or just hear it and memorize it. We're going to walk through it. It's easy to just memorize and to meditate on. Romans 12, 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. First thing we got to note is that Paul starts off this verse with a therefore, right? Whenever you see therefore in the Bible, what's the question you have to ask? What's the therefore? Therefore, right? What are we looking back upon, and what is the basis for which Paul is now speaking? So this Romans 12 represents a pretty decisive shift in the whole letter of Romans. Up to this point, chapters 1 through 11, Paul has been going through this massive systematic theology and a presentation of the gospel. He's talking about the fallenness of humans, how every one of us is fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, on our own merits, cannot attain to the salvation, and Christ has come to us for that. This is the gospel, and especially in chapters 5 through 8, Paul really dives into the inexhaustible mystery and glory of the gospel of grace. That while we were still sinners, while we were his enemies, Christ died for us. Out of his love for us, his compassion toward us, gave himself as a sacrifice because we were the greater good for him. We were the highest value for him. We were the pearl of great price that he gave everything to claim for himself. That's the mystery and the glory of the gospel that Paul has just been explaining and expositing for 11 chapters. And now he comes to chapter 12 and says, therefore. He sums up everything that's come before in 11 chapters with the mercies of God. This is by the basis that he makes the appeal on, by the mercies of God, is a summary of everything that he's just talked about in 11 chapters. The mercy of God is everything that God has accomplished for us in Christ, everything that he in his grace has poured out to us, sinners who did not deserve it. The mercies of God that are ours in Jesus Christ. Therefore, on the basis of that, everything God has done for us in Jesus Christ, Paul makes his appeal. He doesn't make a command, though he could have, with the authority of an apostle. He makes an appeal, an exhortation, an urging, a begging, almost. By the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies, he says. This is a good reminder for us that we are bodily people. We are physical beings, spiritual beings, yes. Intellectual beings, yes. Emotional beings, yes. But we are physical people, embodied people. Author Andy Crouch calls humans a heart, soul, mind, strength complex. He has a gift for making things very complicated in his words. But there's some mysterious unity of our bodies, our hearts, and our minds, how God has made us in his image, that we are physical. We are bodies. And our bodies are the ways that we live in this world, the physical and the material ways that we operate in this world. The outflow of our souls, the outworkings of our minds and our emotions and our hearts. Tim Keller said that the body is how the soul acts in the world. The body is how the soul acts in the world. So what Paul is saying here is not just with our mental selves, not just in a spiritual sense, but with all of us. To give all of ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. The physical, the spiritual, the material, the emotional, the outer and the inner selves. All of us. To come before God as a living sacrifice. Now we are called ourselves to be the sacrifice. And Paul's drawing on that language that would have been so familiar to the Jewish listeners and to the pagan, the Greek listeners in Rome. Because you would sacrifice to your God to appease the God, to try to get blessings and greater abundance out of the God or God Almighty. For the sake of something of greater value, people would give up the first fruits of their crops. Or they would slaughter the best of their herds. When you would bring something to the altar in the temple, it had to be a pure sacrifice. It had to be a spotless and unblemished lamb or goat or dove. You couldn't bring something with a defect. You couldn't bring something that was less than the best of what you had. That would be an insult to God. You brought something that was holy and acceptable unto the Lord. That's what we're called to be as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, presenting our bodies unto him, presenting all of ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, right? And many of us might be asking, can I do that? Do I qualify? When I look at my life and God off asking me to give all of myself to him as a pure and unadulterated sacrifice, I feel like I've got some work to do, maybe. But this is where we remember that this is on the basis of mercy. We're in the context of the grace that has been poured out to us, and we who cannot make ourselves holy have been made holy by the blood of the Lamb, sacrificed for us. That Jesus has made us an acceptable sacrifice unto God. Not because of how good we are, not because of how holy we are, but because what he has done, we are holy and acceptable. We are wrapped up in the mercies of God. And therefore, we present ourselves, all of ourselves, as a living sacrifice. The idea of a living sacrifice is one that means that there is no bloody death here. But there is a death. There is no slaughter on an altar, but there is a giving up our life. There is a surrender of ourselves to something greater. The living sacrifice means that we, day by day, hour by hour, are called to give ourselves to our gracious God. A living sacrifice based on what Jesus has done for us. In the power of the Spirit that he has given to us to present ourselves to God, saying, here I am, all of me, I'm yours. Receive me, Lord. A living sacrifice is not a one decision when you went to church camp back in the day. A living sacrifice is not a one and done sinner's prayer. A living sacrifice says, each and every day, Lord, I am yours. Each and every day, I want to die to myself and give myself unto Jesus Christ and unto God the Father as a living sacrifice. To be able to say day by day with pure joy that I am crucified with Christ, that it is no longer I who live. It's no longer I who am in control. It's no longer I who am the Lord of my life by any attempts or measures. But it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. A living sacrifice is where we are called to let go of the reins of our life. To say, God, you are in control. You are in charge. You are the Lord, and I'm not. And I'm crucifying myself with Christ, receiving that grace of joining myself to him on the cross, that I might die to myself and be raised with him into glory. Something of infinitely greater value than what we have now. Because remember, this is not, this sacrifice is not an exchange, right? We're not saying, God, when I, God's not saying to us, when you give yourself as a living sacrifice, then I will give you mercy. Then I will give you grace. Then I will bring you abundance. No, God, the only exchange that happens in the Christian life happened 2,000 years ago on the cross, where Jesus was our substitute and exchanged his life for our salvation. That's the exchange, right? We're not doing a transaction here with God. We're not making a deal with him. If I give my life up to you, I get these benefits. No. By the mercies of God we have already received, we are called to lay down our lives, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God for the sake of something of infinitely greater value. That infinitely greater value isn't more salvation, which we already have. It isn't greater blessings, which we already have. The infinitely greater value that we're called to sacrifice ourselves for is nothing less than more of God. More of Jesus poured out to us because we can surrender ourselves to him. Receive more and more of him and his infinite goodness, his infinite love, his infinite wisdom. He has more to give to us, always. More of you, O God, is what I want. More of your presence. More of your goodness. I don't need any more salvation. I have everything I need in Jesus. But by laying my life down as a living sacrifice, surrendering to the God who is my Lord, who is my salvation, there, on that altar, can we be filled with more and more of Him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Honor God with your life. Give Him your all. Give Him your work. Give Him your relationships. Give Him your finances. Give Him your service. Give Him your leisure. Give Him your thinking, your loving, your feeling. Everything that you have, give to God. Lay it down as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. This is your spiritual worship, Paul ends the verse with. But the word spiritual is hard to translate. You may have a footnote in your Bible that says, this could be translated rational or reasonable, maybe some other translation say. The Greek word is logikos. The root word logos. Right? The word. The logic that holds the whole universe together that is Jesus Christ. But so this is a spiritual act of worship, but it's also a logical act of worship. It is also the most logical, the most reasonable, the only rational choice for us in the light of the mercies of God that have been given to us in Jesus Christ. What else can we do by any reasonable measure but give ourselves to Him in gratitude, in love, in joy for the one who has given Himself to us? This is the only reasonable response to the mercy of God, to give ourselves unto Him. And this is the appeal. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, present your bodies, all of you, the inner and the outer, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship. I think back to the story of Isaac and Abraham's testing in Genesis 22. We often talk about this as the testing of Abraham. The Jewish people, as they read the text, they tend to center Isaac in the story. In a lot of Jewish teaching, they call this the Akedah, the binding. The binding of Isaac is how they tend to refer to this text. And the text of Genesis 22 isn't clear how old Isaac is, but it is pretty clear he's not a boy. Isaac is not a young boy. He's not a toddler. He's some commentators think it could be anywhere from an older teenager to, some say, in his mid-30s. But Isaac was almost certainly a full-grown man who could have overpowered his 100-year-old father as he took him up to Mount Moriah with no lamb for sacrifice, but with everything needed, realizing the truth that he was the sacrifice. And instead, Jewish commentators, there's a Midrash, which is a Jewish commentary on the Torah, and they tend to kind of, in a spiritual way, insert more details into the story. There's a Midrash that says that Isaac, upon realizing what was happening, upon coming to the altar, and his father binding him, his appeal to his father was, bind me tighter. Father, bind me tighter so that I might not flinch, so that I might not try to squirm off this altar. Bind me tighter as a sacrifice unto God. And we know that story, how God provided the ram and how at the last minute, God was pleased with the holy and acceptable sacrifice of Abraham in the intentions of his heart and stopped him. And Hebrews says that in some figurative way, Isaac was killed and raised to new life in that moment. But his appeal, his urge was, bind me tighter to the altar. When we are called to give ourselves as a living sacrifice, may the Spirit give us grace to say to the Lord, bind me tighter. Bind me tighter to your cross. Bind me tighter to your altar that I might be a living sacrifice unto you, O God, holy and acceptable in your sight. So I want to make an appeal to us today. As Paul makes an appeal to the whole church throughout all time and to each one of us as we hear these words. And I make this appeal to all of us because God has been working on me in the last few days. The only advantage a preacher has is that I get to wrestle with these texts several days before you do. But God's been working on my heart and calling me to be a living sacrifice. And I want to invite you today to give yourself to God. To lay it all down before Him. Maybe this is something you've done 100 times before, 1,000 times before, do it again. Do it again. Maybe this is something you have not truly come into a resolution in your heart that this is what you want, that there's something of greater value that's worthwhile, that's worth you surrendering control of your life. This is the moment. Today is the day. Don't delay. Don't let fear hold you back. But trust in the infinitely good, infinitely wise, infinitely loving God who is calling you to Himself. And by grace, may we together say, Lord, bind me to yourself. Now, in the Anglican Church, some might say we don't do stuff like altar calls. But I say no. We do altar call every single week. Every single week, all of us are invited to the altar. All of us come before the Lord and kneel as we receive the sacrifice that He has given for us in His body and His blood. The mercies of God poured out to us in a moment to receive within our bodies the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And there, every single week, we have the opportunity to come and kneel before the Lord, to give ourselves unto Him as a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of worship to the one who is worthy, to the one who is of infinitely greater value than anything we can comprehend or imagine, of anything we can pursue in this world. Jesus is better. He is more worthwhile. He is more wonderful. He is more beautiful. He is more glorious. He has more of Himself to give to you. So come to Him and give yourself to Him. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. This is your spiritual worship. May it be for the glory of God. May it be for the blessing and the abundance of our lives as we continue to grow in Him and desiring more and more of Him. So Holy Spirit, I pray for your grace right now to be poured out upon us. I pray for those who are hearing this and knowing it is for them and yet are fearful. And yet are holding on to control. I pray, Lord, that you would shower your love and your grace upon each one of us to know that you are the the one who is trustworthy to have control of our lives. To know that you are the one who is worthy to claim lordship over our lives. You are the one who is worthy more than anything else of giving our lives to. And so give us the grace, O Lord, to offer ourselves to you today, to present ourselves to you. We invite you to come to us and stir us and give us the grace to give a spiritual offering of worship today. In the name of Jesus, we pray.